For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God, through the folly of what we preach, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs, and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Thank God for his word. Let's, before we turn to his word, let's stand up and greet those that we haven't yet greeted. I'm sure there are those that we haven't yet said good morning to and wished a peaceful Easter to. So let's just take a couple of minutes to do that. Let's greet one another. In the name of the Lord. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah. You nearly got away with it. I couldn't find my sheets with my talk on, so you nearly got away with it. But sadly, I found them. Yeah. Colin has just reminded me of a notice that coffee shop is happening tomorrow. Yes, but because it's a bank holiday, it's going to happen in the pub at 11 o'clock. You can relax now, Nolan. And Jana came in earlier. She had breakfast, and she reported that yesterday there were over 300 people involved in our Easter egg hunt. Over 300 people, over 80 families. So thank you to everybody who helped. That's a really wonderful. Somebody apparently looked up on the internet and came over from Watford. And they said it was far better than the National Trust one that they did last year and had to pay £16 for, and they got the Easter story with it as well. So that's absolutely fantastic. So thanks everybody who helped with that. The foolishness of the cross, 1 Corinthians 18. I set myself a challenge by saying, well, we will be finished by 11, and we're on track, you'll be pleased to know, but it could go badly wrong now. It won't have escaped your notice that today is April Fool's Day. Hillary's very conscious of that. My mum, is, as I say, it's her birthday too. She's very conscious. She was born on April Fool's Day, and we've spent all our lives telling her she's not a fool, she's wonderful, we love her, and God loves her, and so on and so forth. So it's good. Has anybody been caught out this morning? No, and it's not going to be sensible for me to try and catch you out now because it would be obvious. But anyway, it's obvious to all of us that it's April Fool's Day today. Did you hear about earlier in the week? Did you hear about Mad Mike? Yeah. Did you hear about Mad Mike? Yeah. Mad Mike, he believes that the earth is flat. It's like a frisbee. And so he built himself in his garage a steam-propelled rocket in order to launch himself up into space so that he could prove it for himself. I think he got, 600 metres high? He needs to add, I remember one commentator saying that he needs to add about another 36,000 feet to it in order to be able to work that one out for himself. But anyway, and no doubt, as this was being reported, there were a good number of people, perhaps for good reason, although I better be careful because I'm still getting to know people in Seer Green, who think perhaps he's a little bit nuts to think that the world is flat. But as I thought about thank you, Tim. But as I thought about that, I realised that actually there are plenty of people who may think he's nuts, but there are plenty more people in our world in our community, in our nation, and so on, who think that those of us who claim that Jesus died on our behalf, was buried, and 3 days later rose again, are equally nuts. There are plenty of people who think that that Christian claim is just crazy. It's ludicrous. Paul says to the Jews, the cross is the cross of Christ is a stumbling block, but to the Gentiles, he says, the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. In fact, I learned that the Greek word used for foolishness here, moraia, is the root word that we get the word, the English word, the rather insulting word, moron, from. And so, for some, the concept of Jesus' death on a cross for us, and the concept of his burial and his resurrection, is moronic. It is quite literally nonsense. It makes no sense. In Acts chapter 17, after Paul had preached the gospel in Athens, Luke records there that some mocked him and mocked the gospel, but others were more open and said, we want to hear more. And I think that's been the case ever since. There are some who will mock this very precious truth for us. But there are others who will say, well, actually, I want to hear more about that. Has any of you heard about this, the Alexa Menos graffito? Have you heard about this? Anybody come across this before? Okay, this was a carving in a room that had been used as a bit like a boarding school, one of the rooms in a, let's say, in a boarding school in Rome, and they reckon this was carved in about the 2nd century, around the year 200. And if you look at it carefully, you'll see it's now still in the Palatine Hill Museum. Did you go to the Palatine Hill Museum last weekend?
No.
You didn't. Okay, well, if you did, you would see this graffiti on the wall. There are some people who think that this could be the earliest depiction of Christ on the cross that we have. That there's actually no earlier depiction of Christ on the cross than this one. But if you look at it, you will see that the image is of a young man on the left worshipping a crucified donkey-headed figure representing Christ. And the inscription that you can see written there translates, Alex Amenos worships his God. Alex Amenos worships his God. Everyone is very clear that this is somebody mocking this young man called Alex Amenos for his Christian faith. And it was actually quite a common thing at the time that Christians were worshipped a donkey-headed Messiah. In other words, it's moronic. It's nonsense. It's laughable. It's a joke. It makes no sense. It's crazy. So why does the gospel, why does this story, this deeply held truth for Christians of Jesus' death and resurrection, why does it seem so foolish to some? And I just want to spend a few minutes thinking about that. Well, the first thing I think it says, it appears foolish, is because the cross says to us that we are sinful. And we don't like that. We don't like to be told that. That's offensive. If I come up to you and say, actually, you're a sinful person, or many of us suppose, yes, I know, but actually it's an offensive thing to say. And the cross says to us, you are sinful and your sin is worthy of God's judgment. And we don't like that. In our defense, we might protest, well, I know I'm not perfect, but I don't deserve the cross. I didn't deserve that kind of punishment. I'm basically a good person. But the cross, this is the point of the cross, the foolishness of the cross says, yes, you are, and yes, it does. Yes, this is the seriousness of your sin and my sin. And many might argue, surely God's wrath is reserved for those who are really bad. Have you heard that? Surely, you know, I'm not a bad person, but I understand God's wrath, but perhaps God's wrath is reserved for those who are really bad. You know, people like the usual suspects, people like Hitler, and people like Bin Laden, and people like traffic wardens, and, you know, those sorts of dreadful people. Are there any traffic warden? No, anybody got a traffic? No, anyway, we won't even go there. But we don't see, as the Bible says, that the wrong that I have done, the wrong thought, the wrong word, the wrong deed, the unkind thing that I have done is worthy of God's wrath. Because God is a holy God and he cannot bear the sight of sin. And so the cross says to us, you are sinful. I am sinful. And my sin deserves the judgment of God, deserves the wrath of God. And that is what our sin cost the Lord Jesus. The horror of the crucifixion points to the horror of our condition. The Bible says every single one of us has sinned and has fallen short of God's glory. The horror of the crucifixion points to the horror of our condition, and the badness of Good Friday is just a reflection of the badness in my life. It is horrific. My sin costs and has a cost to it. The second thing, the reason I think people consider the cross as foolishness is because it tells us that we need a saviour. Not only does it tell us we're sinful, it tells us we need a saviour. Generally speaking, I think our conscience understands, you and I, most level-headed people understand that we deserve to suffer the consequences of our own wrongdoing. Would you agree? From drink driving to tampering with a cricket ball. Oh my word. Yeah. Generally, we understand, don't we, that we must suffer the consequences of our wrongdoing, that we must pay the price, the penalty of our sin. But we also expect justice when someone else breaks the rules, don't we? I was reading yesterday about two members of the ISIS cell group, known as the Beatles. I don't know why, except it's something to do with their accent. Were they from Liverpool or something? I thought they were from London. But anyway. And they were behind, along with Jihadi John and a few others a year or two ago, they were behind some of the most high-profile and horrific murders, beheadings, that ISIS committed, and they're now in a cell in prison in Syria awaiting their fate. But I read in this article that a relative of one of those who had been murdered said that, she said, quote, "I hope they have a slow and painful death." So we expect justice, don't we? We understand that I've got to pay the consequence of the wrong that I do, but also other people have got to too. But most of us, I think, will recoil at the suggestion that an innocent person should be punished for what I have done wrong. Would you agree? Most of us would recoil at that idea. So the cross is foolishness because it faces us with exactly that claim, that Jesus, who was innocent, took the punishment that my wrongdoing deserved. And so the cross, for so many, is just foolish. It tells them I'm a sinner, and it tells them that I need a saviour, that somehow I can't get myself out of this mess. But then Paul, in 1 Corinthians, says that for those who are being saved, the cross is transformed from foolishness to becoming the wisdom of God. In other words, when we look at the cross through the eyes of faith, we begin to see it in a completely different light. It changes from being something worthy of mockery to something being worthy of wonder and power and awe. When we look at the cross through eyes of faith, we understand some things. We understand that we receive salvation. We understand, when we look at the cross through eyes of faith, we understand that we need a Saviour. We understand that we cannot save ourselves. That no matter how hard we try or how good we think we are, we cannot deliver ourselves from either the penalty of sin in the past or the power of sin in the future. We understand that we receive salvation through the cross. And when we look at the cross through eyes of faith, we begin to understand that only Jesus was good enough and only Jesus was powerful enough to provide salvation. And that it is only through him that we can receive forgiveness for the past and power for the future. So when we look at the cross through an eyes of faith, we understand that through the cross and Christ on the cross, we receive salvation. But we also, when we look at it through the eyes of faith, we also understand that through it, we are reconciled with God. Jesus described himself, didn't he, as the way, the truth, and the life. And when we look at the cross through the eyes of faith, we begin to understand that the cross of Christ is the only way. It's not one of many, it's the only way through which we can be reconciled to God. And when Jesus died on the cross, we read this wonderful story. When Jesus died on the cross, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. And it was torn in such a way that only God could have done it, because it was torn from the top to the bottom. The way into his presence was opened up for us. And it's through faith that we pass through that curtain to experience the joy and the peace of a relationship with the living God. How great is the love of God that we should be called children of God. And that is exactly what we are, reconciled to God through the cross. And as we look at the cross through eyes of faith, we understand that we receive life. And here's the paradox. Here's the paradox of this meal that we're going to share together in a moment. The cross, which dealt Jesus such a brutal death, means life to everyone who embraces it. His death brings us life. And when we look at the cross through eyes of faith, we begin to understand that he offers us a fullness of life, which is for here and now, as well as fullness of life in the future after death. Paul says in Ephesians 2, before Christ we were dead. We couldn't help ourselves, we were dead. But now in Christ we have been made alive. How wonderful. Hallelujah. There's good pleasure. Do you enjoy life? Life is good. If it isn't, with everything that's going on, life is good. Life is here to be enjoyed. Life is here to be celebrated. There is good pleasure to be found in this life, but nothing that this life affords can match the life. It can meet the deepest needs that we have and can match the life that Jesus offers us and gained for us through the cross. Only God can give us that life when we invite him into our lives, when we embrace the cross. And lastly, as we look at the cross through eyes of faith, we understand that we gain true freedom. Do you know, in this country, we are privileged to enjoy the greatest freedoms that the world has ever known. All sorts of freedoms. But the truth is, there are so many in our communities, in our churches, in our nation, who know that they are not free in their lives or in their spirits, and they long for true freedom. I listened yesterday to the story of one person whose life was completely taken over by online gambling. And there are many others who are in slavery to fear, to guilt, to substance abuse, to physical abuse, to loss, to lies, to hatred, to consumerism, to video games, to sexual or personal gratification, to sports, especially Watford supporters. You need to be set free. Hallelujah. Or social media. There are so many in our churches, sadly, in our communities, in our nation, who are not free, who are bound by so many things. And yet the cross, when we look at the cross through the eyes of faith, it says to us, we have been set free. We've been set free from anything, all things that can bind us. Perhaps there was a time when we ourselves were not free, but were held captive by one thing or another. In order for us to be truly free, we must look to the cross of Christ. For it is there that we find true freedom. I love this rendition of Romans 6 in the Message. It says, our old way of life was nailed to the cross with Christ, a decisive end to that sin, miserable life. No longer at sin's every beck and call. What we believe is this: if we get included in Christ's sin-conquering death, in other words, if we embrace what Jesus has done on the cross for ourselves, we also get included in his life-saving resurrection. We're set free. I've been struck this Easter again by the centurion who stood watch over the crucifixion of Jesus and observed everything that was going on. It's recorded in the three synoptic gospels. And as Jesus died, this centurion looked up and cried, truly, this man is the Son of God. You see, he began to see the cross through the eyes of faith. And when we look at the cross through the eyes of faith, we can understand that we receive salvation. We are reconciled with God. We receive the life from God and we gain true freedom. And I pray for us today. I pray for you. I pray for us. I pray for my family. I pray that we may have the eyes of faith, that we may behold more and more the wonders of the cross. And we may live such reconciled, free, and beautiful lives that others may see in us the wonder of the cross of Christ and the life that he offers to them too.